This is an oral history interview with Marguerite A. Rowe in Durango, Colorado. This interview is being conducted on July 15th, 1997 at Mrs. Rowe's home at 740 East 7th Avenue in Durango. The interview is being conducted by Todd Ellison, representing the Center of Southwest Studies, Fort Lewis College in Durango. Mrs. Rowe, thanks for being so willing to be interviewed. And I wondered if you could start by telling us about your grandfather, Dr. Griffith.
Well, he came here in 1880 as the railroad doctor. Huh. And they came from Pennsylvania on the train as far as Pueblo. And they had three little boys. Uncle Ben was five and Daddy was three, Fred. And Uncle Charlie was a baby in arms. And so she had a sister over there who was married to one of the, who were the millionaires from Pueblo? Why can't I think of it? See, that's my problem.
Well, we can skip that.
Anyway, she and the baby stayed with her sister. And I'm sure my grandfather probably rode horseback over here, because the railroad wasn't finished. And then he built a house on West 3rd. He built a big house on West 3rd. Well, when the sisters, the nuns, first came to the hospital, they didn't have any place to stay. And Grandpa already had the house, so he let them stay with them in the house. And they built a small house to live in, finally, and then it burnt down. So he let them stay with him again. And I'd like to say that he wasn't in politics like some of the doctors are now to get that community hospital closed. They boycotted that.
Hmm. Now tell me, how did he get appointed to be the railroad doctor?
Well, evidently he had the job before he came, because he was a surgeon in the Civil War on the side of the North Sea, being from Pennsylvania. And so I don't know. I didn't ask my grandmother enough questions. I never thought about it. But I'm sure that he had the job before he came, or she wouldn't have stayed over there and he came on.
Because the railroad didn't reach Durango till the next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, she stayed. And then she came on the first train that came over. And but she wasn't with the ones that were up, you know, they had used to have a plaque up at Baker's Bridge. Mm-hmm. And the Turners and a lot of them, they went out to Ignacio and got on the train and rode in. So they had all their names on that plaque, but they didn't have my grandmother's. And so anyway, what else do you want?
Well, tell me again about your grandparents' children. How many children the Griffiths had?
Well, they had the three boys. Uncle Ben was five, and Daddy was three, and Uncle Charlie was a baby. And then after they got here, they had a girl. Now, see that? With the hat on in the back. No, on top.
Uh-huh, yes.
That's my Aunt Rita.
Huh.
And she was born after they got here. And
what became of those children?
Well, see, when we were in California, when I went to the second grade in California, and Uncle Ben, we stopped in Denver. And Grandma and Aunt Rita were living in Denver. And we stopped. We went on the train. We sold our car with the ranch and went on the train to Denver. And then from there, we went to San Diego in California. And we didn't get to see Uncle Ben because he was in Montana counting cattle for a bank. Hmm. And so then, before we got back here, why, he died. So then we came back. And the folks wanted to buy something down there, but it was right after the war and everything was sky high. And they never did find anything that they really wanted, so we were going to go up north. But instead of that, we came back here. And in the meantime, they stopped us in Gallup. And when he died, Aunt Rita, that was the girl, she just went all to pieces. And so she died too. So they had a double funeral when we got here. I remember that. But the sheriff stopped us in Gallup and told us about, I guess they'd sent word down there, you know. And I know my mother thought she'd drive so Daddy didn't have to. The Indians used to just take off across country in a wagon down there. And she thought she had the highway. It was the best looking road. And she finally ran out of road. So she had to turn around and come back and find the highway.
Well, roads have changed a lot.
And it took 5 days to drive from Pomona, California to Durango. Uh-huh. Well, the cars only went 35 miles an hour, see. And the roads weren't very good. Uh-huh. But that's how long it took. Now we used to drive it in about 16 hours.
Now, what did you grow up hearing about Dr. Griffith, about your grandfather?
Well, not a whole lot here. The most I heard, when I was in college, I went to the Colorado picnic in California, and this lady was telling me, my mother used to tell me if I didn't sit still, I'd have the St. Vitus dance. And I thought that was just a saying. But this lady told me that her sister did have the St. Vitus dance. And that Dr. Griffith sent someplace for pills, and it cured her. But outside that, I just never did talk to people that knew him, you know. Hmm. But I know that, of course, he doctored these animals, too, after, you want to hear about the Mesa? See, the Florida Mesa was Indian reservation, and then they opened it for homestead. And so, with the four children and grandma and grandpa, they had six people. So they got 6 times 160 acres. And so he took the whole thing, and then he sold off 2 of them. And I don't remember exactly who he sold them to, but he just kept 1 for each of the children. And I don't remember, I have a notebook. It's all up at the cemetery that my daughter, and I couldn't find the notebook. When everybody died and when they were born and when they died. Mm. But we could go to the cemetery sometime and get it again. I can't find the notebook. Uh-huh. My daughter copied it down.
Did the Fort Lewis Mesa, the Mesa opened to homesteaders in 1899?
No, the Florida Mesa.
Florida Mesa.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was that 1899?
I don't know. I don't know the date. On that, if you know that, well, that's probably right.
Huh.
But see, 1880 is when he came.
Right.
And he built this big square house. It's still over there. It's the house that Dr. Luter was living in when he was killed. Mm-hmm. And I always thought it was real ugly, but that's the way they built them in Pennsylvania when I went back there. And then he built a barn out on the mesa. And, you know, Pennsylvania is kind of rolling hills. Well, he built his own hill. You drove the cattle in down here, and then he built a hill in the back of it, and you hauled the hay in up there and put the hay in the top, and then you could push it over and feed the cattle.
That's when you were out there on Florida Mesa.
That's the homestead out there, not on our ranch, but on where this house was that I told you, where I was born.
And where in Pennsylvania did the...
Now wait a minute. Okay. Everett.
Everett,
Pennsylvania was where my dad was born. Uh-huh. I think probably all the children were born there. And we couldn't see it when I came back. They've raised the highway and there's so many trees that we couldn't even see Everett. Hmm. But then I went back later and I have a second cousin back there. And so they took me around and showed me everything.
Well, tell me about your father. What was his career?
Cattle. Uh-huh. I guess the reason Grandpa Griffith homesteaded, he had three sons and they weren't bookworms. That's the way I heard it. And so he bought cattle. And I told somebody that and they said, well, he probably, what is it when you herd a man?
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I doubt that. He was a doctor. I don't think he had time to do that. I'm sure he bought the cattle that he had. But my dad took most of the care of the cattle because he liked horses and he liked the cattle and everything. And Uncle Charlie, he helped a little bit. They used to went up there, go up there. They had a cabin, too. And but our cabin, well, to get up there, you went up 7 miles up the highway and then 7 miles up over the mountain. And there was a steep hill you went down. And Uncle Charlie kept buying cars, but he had to back up that hill. So my dad wouldn't buy a car when he had to back up the hill. And finally, Jim Jarvis stopped him on the street, and he says, I've got a car now for you. Come on. So they went up, and he showed him. But it was a Studebaker, and they were the first car to put in carburetors, see. The first cars had gravity drive. So naturally, they had to back up, because if they didn't, the gas all didn't run out into the motor.
So that cabin was at... Where was that cabin?
Well, we each had a cabin. Daddy had a cabin, and then on up, Uncle Charlie had a cabin.
Toward Bayfield?
Well, it's north of Bayfield, 7 miles, and you turn up. Now, Ed Woomer bought that acreage up there for my cousin. But,
And what do you know about the Woomers? They're an old Durango family.
They were settled on the Pine River. Mm-hmm. And I think Ed was the first one to buy anything up there. Now, he's still living. Mm-hmm. And he lives on a ranch on Pine River, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I see her and him every once in a while. I see her in the store. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen him for a long time. He wanted me to come up. We used to have dances here. And he wanted me to come up and show him where our cabin was. Because my cousin tore it down log by log and moved it. I don't know why or what he was doing, but he did. And I never did get over there to show him, and I'm not sure I could have told anyway if it wasn't there. And that was the pictures in that book of the cabin. There were several of them in there.
Hmm. What are some of your earliest memories of your home there on the Rita Mesa?
Well, I went to the first grade out there, and I walked to school most of the time. I remember it snowed so much, and they couldn't get the car out, and so they drove the cattle up. They always kept 100 head of cattle, because they could raise enough hay to feed them during the winter. And they drove them up the road, and that fixed it so that they could get out in the car. But outside of that, I was always getting in trouble because I'd sit and talk and play with this boy that lived real close to the school instead of coming home. But that's about all I remember.
Well, and then you were about 8 when your parents moved from California back to this area and bought this house. That was in 1920, right?
In 1920.
So you were 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to the 3rd and 4th grade down here at Park School.
And what was that like? What was that like? What was Park Elementary like? Tell us some stories about that.
Well, the only thing I remember about that, I was pumping this girl up in the swing. And I thought she kept telling me to go higher. And finally she turned all the little sleuth and fell out. And so this friend of mine, she went in and told the superintendent, who was a very good friend of ours, and the superintendent wouldn't let me talk and tell my part at all. And so I finished that year, and then I refused to go back. And so I went to junior high then. Actually, we were in that park district, but Mother got permission for me to go down there because it was so close in the winter when you had to walk through the snow. But that's about all I remember outside of that. Hmm. But in the 3rd and 4th grade, you know. I went the rest of the time. See, we had junior high there. And when my kids were going to school up there, Sue and Gordon, that school burned down.
Which school?
Well, it's where the, isn't it the Mason School, that Platt School there? Mm-hmm. They called it the Mason School. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you went for junior high?
We had the first grade through the eighth. And then, they had a school out in Animas City, and I think they had the eighth grade out there, too. And then the Catholic school had the eighth grade. Because when we got into high school, we met all these new kids that we'd never seen before. And they were from the Catholic school and the Animas City school. Now, there's also was a Whittier school over there. You know where it was. Mm-hmm. And it's where that long building is now on Main. And I don't know whether they had eighth grade or not. Mm-hmm. I don't think they did. But, of course, then those kids would come, start going to, we called it the junior high is what we called it. Now, other people have heard of it, called something else, but we just called it junior high. Mm-hmm. And I know when it burned, they sent Gordon down, he was, second or third grade, I guess.
Your son, Gordon?
Uh-huh. And they sent him down to Park School, and Sue had to go down on Main Street someplace. She was in the fifth or sixth grade. I don't remember which. No. Hmm. I should have written all these things down, but I didn't.
What caused it to burn?
I don't know. Nobody ever said. It just burned down. I remember this one mother. Her son was always telling her stories, so she wouldn't believe him, and so she had to go and look, and it was burnt. Because he was always telling her something, so he didn't have to go to school. I won't mention any names. So that's about all I remember about that, and then into high school. And, I know. We went, my dad bought an undertaking business. And so we moved to Gallup. They decided to move to Gallup. So I started my freshman year of high school in Gallup, New Mexico. And we rented this house, and the people quit paying the rent. So Mother and I had to move back.
Back here?
To this house. Huh. Uh-huh. And so we moved in, and then Daddy finally sold the undertaking. Well, the partner died. That was what threw a monkey wrench and everything. And Daddy could do everything, but he didn't have a license. Mm. So, anyway, so then I went the rest of my schooling here through high school and everything.
And what did your dad do when he moved back here? What did he do for work?
When he first came back, he started working in a, I guess it was a furniture store. I remember this house. They had coal stoves. There's a double flue there. And they had a coal stove there upstairs here. And I guess all over the house. And the first thing Daddy did was buy a furnace through this furniture store. And so this furnace is still down there. Ed had to rebuild it. My husband, he said he replaced everything but the ash pan.
So,
and then they had it converted, it's now converted into gas.
But it was a coal furnace.
But it was originally a coal furnace. And Ed put a stoker in when we bought the house. Why, he put a stoker in. But then he finally, we had moved out of it, and they'd let it smoke, and it had come upstairs here instead of smoking downstairs. If they didn't keep that stoker full, see, it would smoke. Hmm. And so they, he finally, his friend of his told him there was a good man over here that knew about gas, so he had it converted to gas. And when I was in school?
Yeah, tell me something.
Well,
about
now, Mr. Smiley was the superintendent, and I always thought he hired and fired the teachers, which he really did, but he had law and order. There was no smoking, there was no drinking. And if they got caught, they got in trouble. And then when he retired, I was out of school then. When he retired, well, I think my kids were pretty near through too. Kenny wasn't, maybe. But anyway, the school never was the same again after he wasn't superintendent any longer, because he really had law and order.
What did he look like? Can you remember what Mr. Smiley?
I probably...
Well, I'm just wondering if you remember...
I can't even find my tall tech. I had it, and I don't know what happened
just
to it.
Just wondering if you could remember any other characteristics of him.
Well, everybody was scared to death of him but me. If we wanted to do anything, I had to go do it.
So why weren't you scared of him?
I don't know. I just knew him well to begin with. We had been up above... They lived on the corner up here across the street. And they had this about this much between the walk and where the thing went up. And it was all plowed up, and we'd been up there to dinner, and I thought that looked like a good place to walk. So I walked down it. And then I got... The folks came out. In the meantime, they were... talking about it. So Mother made me come up and apologize. Well, of course, I was crying when I got here, and Goldie picked me up in her arms. She was his wife, Mr. Smiley's wife. And I don't know whether I saw him or not, but anyway, I just never was afraid of him because I knew him. And but all the rest of the kids in school were. And I know they weren't going to let us go on, what did they call it, the seniors? We wanted to go to Mesa Verde for at the end of school. We had a name for it. Silverton and cooking for the hospital. So she decided she'd go because she could use the money to send me to college. So I drove to town and I brought the cream in and delivered it at the creamery, and I bought all the groceries and went home, and I got breakfast and dinner for my dad and the hired man all during my senior year. Well, not all during, because She quit when it got kind of spring-like, why she came back, because she needed to plant a garden and do all those things. But anyway, I don't know. I enjoyed. I always had a date for the dances, not with the same guy every time.
Now, how did you meet your husband? You didn't get married till you were.
After
21.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I graduated from high school with his sister, but I didn't know him, and. So when I came back to the ranch, his cousin had rented one of the Uncle Charlie's ranches up the road from us. And so he was going to be, 15? He was having a birthday. And so Mother told him I would come to the birthday party. Well, I just got home the day before, and I was highly insulted to go to a 15-year-old birthday party. I wasn't going. She told me I had nothing better to do, and I was going. So she was going to walk up the road with me, and about that time they drove up in a car. And Ed was driving, that was Ed, and his cousin Art was riding with him. And they came down after me and took me up to the party. So that was the 1st of July. See, college didn't get out early in California because it didn't start because it was too hot to start. So then we went later in the spring. And so I'd just gotten home in July, and the 1st of July. So anyway, Ed asked me for a date for the 4th of July. So we went together that summer, and of course then I went back to college. And he had missed out he went out on Red Mesa and ran his granddad's ranch and went to school. And somehow, when he came in here, they wouldn't accept all his credits, so he had to go to high school another year. But he was a star football player that year. And he made usually kicked all the passes and threw all the balls. And he wasn't, none of the kids were big like they are now. I remember when I was in college, this kid wanted to go to Berkeley and play on the team. And he had to lose weight till he got down to 189 pounds, so he couldn't play on the team. Now they weigh 300 pounds. So things have changed quite a bit. Oh, and then the poor guy, the first game he played, he broke his legs after he got on the team. And so people do have their problems, you know.
So how long did you date until you got married?
Well, let's see, I came back, I went to other year of college, and we wrote a letter once a week, and then we dated all that summer, and then I got a school. I had a hard time getting schools, because most of the kids borrowed money and went to Fort Lewis, so they got the schools. And I didn't think I was going to get a school, and Ed and his sister and I were going to go to Denver on the train because his dad worked on the railroad and we could go free. And they told me I had a school. So it was a Regner school down on the La Plata River.
To teach at.
Uh-huh. So I taught down there, but I only taught about 6 months because they ran out of money. And I only had an eighth grader. And then along in the spring, there was another family moved in and I had a first grader. And then the next year I tried every place and I just could not get another school because all the kids had to pay back this money and they'd hire them instead of me because I didn't borrow any money to go to school. Well, see, I told you about going down to California with these friends. I didn't have to pay tuition because I lived with them. Mm-hmm. And this was a junior college. Now, if I'd have been in a big college, I probably would have had to pay. But this junior college, I didn't.
Was 2 years of college all that was required to teach in those days?
Oh, I could have taught the first year because the lady down next door here, two doors, she told me I better take the church teacher's exam because she had to take it 3 times before she passed it. So I took it and I passed it. But Mother thought I should go to college another year. And so I already had my teacher's license, before I went the second year.
And That's all you really would have to
yeah,
have.
You took the exam, and that gave you your certificate then. I don't know what they do now. It's probably all changed. But anyway, so let's see. We were married the 30th. Did I tell you?
September 30th.
Yeah, 1933.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you said there's some reason you got married in Aztec. But you don't want to tell us, huh?
Oh, I don't. No, I better not.
Okay.
Because it doesn't involve us. Really.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when you turn the machine on.
Okay. So, well, tell me about this neighborhood where you live around here. It's probably
well, I'll
full
tell
of
you.
Stories.
Now,
for you.
That house over there, that little green one, white
uh-huh.
with the green, that wasn't there. And the one on the corner wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
See, there's one in between.
Uh-huh.
And there were two houses on this corner built. On this corner. We used to play baseball down there on the corner because it was
uh-huh.
flat. And then the three little houses that faced 7th Street, they were all built since we bought this house. And now they're all sold. I don't even know any of my neighbors, only two.
Mm.
But... because everything's sold, and as I say, I thought about selling mine, and I thought, well, now that's ridiculous.